Our next presenter, Brother Omawale Clay, also has his presentation in printed form, and I believe it's available on the table to the back if some of you would like to have copy to follow along. Brother Omawale Clay is also a longtime activist in the progressive formation of the African liberation struggle in America. He is currently a member of the December 12th movement and responsible for its day-to-day operations and its citywide chapter. He has been a participant in the U.S. Hands Off Cuba, and in my home city of New York City, he is a principal organizer of the Malcolm X Save the Audubon Coalition. It appears that some of you are looking for copies, the copies that were there. They apparently have been distributed, so maybe you can share with one another until we can get some more. Brother Omawale Clay.
First, let me begin by saying that although I also have gray hair, that some of the participants in the meeting were some of my mentors. The Black Nation is finishing Malcolm's legacy. Black youth openly slain in the streets, the victims of white sheets. So have gray hair, that some of the participants in the meeting were some of my mentors. The Black Nation is finishing Malcolm's legacy. Black youth openly slain in the streets, the victims of white sheets and baseball bats, 38 revolvers and nightsticks, crack cocaine, 9mm, public schools and white supremacy. Healthcare so dangerous that in spite of medical marvels being within every child's eyesight, death is as quick and as frequent as in the most oppressed nations. Economic terrorism, total, often spearheaded by the CIA, inspired plots to use third world merchants to take over and disrupt the local black economic life as a form of constant economic destabilization. High-rise luxury housing leaps into the skies while tens of thousands of homeless fill the streets and underground subway tunnels. Comrades, I offer you America, the birthplace and training ground of one of the world's great freedom fighters, Malcolm X, and still where his ideas shake the very foundations of imperialism. I wish to extend to my fellow communists, revolutionaries, political activists, and the Cuban nation the warmest greetings from the Sunrise Collective, the December 12th movement, and the toiling masses of the oppressed black nation. It is historic that we come together during the year of the 25th anniversary of the death and 65th anniversary of the birth of the great African-American freedom fighter, Malcolm X. It is a tribute to the Cuban people under the guidance of their Communist Party and the leadership of Comrade Fidel Castro that you so keenly see the significance of analyzing the impact of Malcolm X's ideas and contributions to world development at a time when those very ideas have captured the hearts and minds of a new generation of young freedom fighters in the United States in particular and the world in general. My comrades, I would like to put forward in the spirit of unity a few ideas of Malcolm, which we find at the very heart of our successes and shortcomings in waging a life and death struggle against American imperialism. Standards of leadership. To build a house, you must have carpenters. And that house will only be as sound as the skill, dedication, and care each carpenter puts into the house and its foundation. So it is with building a liberation movement. It is only as sound as the quality of the revolutionaries that helped build it and their organic relationship to the masses of people who live in the house, making up its foundation. Malcolm's sound morals and personal integrity are the foundation on which he built his political philosophy and for which we gravitated to him. When we discuss morals, we do not mean external mystical ideas falling from the sky, but an appreciation and truly earnest desire to seek out in oneself the selflessness and genuine and respect and love for the people that steers you clear of the pitfalls that reactionary imperialist culture constantly place at your feet. It was this purity of heart and principles which made Malcolm such a fearsome foe of imperialism. Malcolm truly represented that quality we see in great revolutionaries like your Che Guevara, which ties their social being to the needs of the revolution with untold sacrifice. We have consistently seen that the struggle for self-determination and human rights for the black nation in America is often crippled by the internal moral decay of its leadership, a phenomenon I am sure which has its material base in the close proximity of our nation to imperialism's center for hundreds of years. It is in this sense we greatly appreciate the correct moral fabric of Malcolm X's social being. His transformation from a social outcast and parasite to a freedom fighter is not simply the changes in his press conferences, his speeches and debates, but tied directly to Malcolm's willingness to consciously redirect and demand of himself the highest standards of integrity. It is with this transformation and constant discipline that allowed Malcolm to be as ruthlessly critical of himself as he was of others, witnessed by his painful yet necessary break with the black Muslims and one of his main teachers, Elijah Muhammad. It was also this quality of integrity that fostered in Malcolm the boldness to go against the tide, to be audacious, which, as Adam Clayton Powell defines, as a necessary quality of black leadership. These qualities of principle, political and personal integrity, boldness of action, and self-criticism were captured in Malcolm's essence and taught to us in a meaningful and concrete way, and continues to still challenge us every day. Self-determination. Malcolm continued the historical debate within the black liberation movement to define our struggle as a fight for national liberation, self-determination. Malcolm's desire to condemn the United States before the world body of nations, to internationalize our struggle, was not only an indication of his political development, but a concrete desire to raise the thinking of black people from the narrow confines of civil rights to human rights, thus creating the historical link between our objective conditions of national oppression and the subjective consciousness of our plight. Malcolm was assassinated at the peak of the black liberation movement's need to philosophically and ideologically break with the narrow imperialist straitjacket within which we were intellectually pursuing the strategic aims of our movement, to push us mentally into the worldwide struggle against imperialism and lay before us the immense forces and concrete allies at our side in daring to challenge America for our freedom. In this decade of the 90s, which we have declared the decade of Malcolm X, we as black people are challenged to establish the indisputable desire and strategic aim of our struggle for self-determination and freedom. It is because of the failure of our movement to establish the hegemony of this political line within our nation that our friends and allies within and without our borders cannot fully respond to our needs for concrete political and material support. Until we establish this hegemony, the unbridled schizophrenia of the black petty bourgeoisie and the most reactionary elements within our nation will continue to divorce our legitimate struggle for human rights and self-determination from the worldwide struggle for independence and freedom. Without the establishment of the right to self-determination, our political prisoners and prisoners of war will continue to be seen at worst as mere criminals, at best as extremists by our nation and the international community. The burden, the challenge to establish our right to self-determination is the key challenge of the 90s for the black liberation movement. Malcolm X, in his last year with us, was very instructive in pointing to the need for black liberation movement to fight on every front within our nation, to gain leadership in every key battle for justice and democracy, pointing out the need to transform the context of struggle to an international fight for the legitimacy of our people to be self-determining, to expose every plot, every conspiracy as the concrete plan it is to confuse and confine our struggle to mainly the electoral arena, the fight for jobs, the fight for merely better relationships between the oppressor and its subjects. As communists, we see the independence of the black nation as a key to freedom and socialism in America. As we all know, internationalism is expressed nationally in the fight for independence and the defeat of imperialism. Before there can be a socialist man and woman, however, there must first be the clarity of that individual's equality and national expression and contribution to the world whole. The black nation is fighting, as Malcolm said, to find its place in the sun, to contribute its history, its identity, and culture to the world community, to perhaps make the greatest contribution of all, the final nail in imperialism's coffin. Comrades, the leadership of the Sunrise Collective, in conjunction with and as part of the leadership of the December 12th movement, has fought to take Malcolm's legacy into the 90s, a legacy that belongs not to one individual or group, but to the people who truly make revolution. We have struggled to make ourselves worthy of helping to lead our people. The days of outrage have once again put on the agenda inside the black nation and a whole as a whole, and once again on the agenda of black workers in particular, the call for the general strike. The call for the war on crack and the challenge to black men in particular put once again on the agenda the strategic need to wage armed struggle. And the closing of exploitative businesses by the boycotts and the establishment of African people's cooperatives is a rekindling of the call for economic self-determination. The electoral arena lies before us as a tremendous basis for revolutionary work that must be approached very carefully but decisively. Because our work, and yet in spite of our work, our movement continues to be one of the main targets of the United States government's COINTELPRO war, which targets brothers and sisters like Malcolm, who was a victim. The incarceration of brothers Abdul Haq, Majid Barnes, and Robert Taylor is a direct result of the New York City Police Department and FBI's Black Desk conspiracy against our movement. And because these brothers are true people's soldiers prepared to give their life for the revolution. Comrades, Malcolm X taught us much, and the international revolutionary movement and our bitter experience has taught us even more. Comrades, the black nation is. Our task in finishing Malcolm's legacy is to establish its reality and free it. We stand with the Cuban people, guided by their party, under the leadership of Fidel Castro, and say to the world that this decade belongs to people most willing to sacrifice for their future. We are clear that the black nation and Cuba will be bones in imperialism's dinner, which will lodge in their throats, choking them to death. No justice, no peace. Sin justicia, no hay paz. Cupatet e bula kai, cut off their heads, burn down their houses. Fidel, Fidel, give the Yankees hell, freedom or death.